Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, Blog Talk Radio, interpreters of the oracles of God. Thanks, everybody, for being flexible. It's just so great because they can always be downloaded whenever it's convenient for you. So thanks for being flexible with me on Thursdays. I called this one the promise of the Father. We've been talking about the prophetic anointing. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the prophetic. And so being baptized in the Holy Spirit is, of course, so awesome. And so I just wanted to read Acts 1, 4, and 5 in the Amplified. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them. I always like to stress that because it was a commandment for them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with," and I love how the Amplified put this, placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit. That's so personal, isn't it? And so, of course, before we go along, I want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them his peace. And I declare that they will have above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of his story. I ask this in Jesus' name, and I sure am grateful for IHOP Kansas. Just love that ministry. So anointed. The teachers are anointed. The intercessors are anointed. The worshipers are anointed. It's a beautiful place. So thanks, IHOP. I'm going to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from every single one of your enemies. And I want to play the recording of the shofar. Hallelujah. To be according to Ezekiel 37. Father, that the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, according to Ezekiel 37, I prophesy to those feeling dry and weary, those who have felt dry, hear the word of the Lord, receive his breath and his revival in your spirit. He has equipped you so that you can be obedient and loyal. He has covered you with his mantle. Yes, Lord, we call forth the four winds, O breath and spirit, breathe on your people, O God. Breathe your Zoe life, O Lord, on those who feel hopeless. Lord, on those who feel despair. Lord, on those who feel dead and dry inside. Breathe on them, Holy Spirit. Breathe on all of us that have experienced grief and loss and death. Cast off the grave clothes, Spirit of the Lord, and bring your might and strength. O finger of God, Spirit of God, breathe on us, Lord. Breathe your life, Lord. Breathe your strength, O God. Breathe your dunamis dynamite power, Lord. Ignite it in us because you are in us, Holy Spirit. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And this is just really important because, you know, the Holy Spirit brings life. And so I wanted to read Ezekiel 37 because the Holy Spirit does so much for us. And we can take this spiritually for us also. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them. And behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath and the spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, son of man, these dry bones, and this was, of course, meant for the house of Israel, but we could take it for ourselves, too, in the sense that, you know, sometimes we feel hopeless, and sometimes we have loss, and sometimes we feel grief, and sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to breathe hope into us, to breathe breath and to breathe spirit into us, revival spirit. And that's why I read this, because the Holy Spirit does so much for us that we don't probably even pay attention to. And so I love how it said in the next verse, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back home. And this, of course, was the Israelites, and they were brought back to their own lands. But we can take that for us also, because in those places that we feel hopeless, we feel dry, we feel brittle, we feel lost, we feel like we've been through a season that was long and hard. And I just know the Spirit of the Lord is saying today to all of us, yes, I will come and bring my Zoe life. I will touch you afresh. I will breathe on you. I will revive you. And so I wanted to start off with that. And I wanted to go really right into Acts 2:16, because in a sense, it's the same thing. He pours out. He poured out. That was what he was saying. I'm going to pour out my life, people. I'm going to pour out my life on you, my people. And so we're going to go in verse 16. And this is in the Amplified. And I just love how the Amplified amplifies. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels, and your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. Yes, on my men servants and also on my maid servants, in those days I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. I mean, he poured that out and continually pours it out to the whosoever will receive from him. And so I know I've heard a lot of people say, well, if he wants me to have it, he's just going to give it to me. Nope, that's not the word of God. The word of God says you have to receive. And so I'm going to go into verse 21, because if you notice in the Word of God, and you think about Paul, how he said, I want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as they talked about, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection in the book of Acts, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he came and witnessed to that. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 21. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Christ, shall be saved. You men of Israel, and we can say, who's ever listening? You men, all, women, children, all over the world, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to you by God by the mighty works, and yes, this is in the Amplified, and the power of performing wonders and signs, which God works through him right in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men. But now remember that. I want you to remember this always. This was foreordained before the foundation of the world, because every person sins were on the body of Jesus. So we all killed him in a sense. That's why he came. He came to die for us. And so don't charge this to a specific group, because it's every man, woman, and child. Really, their sins were on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all killed him. And I just have to say it that way because it's the truth. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. For David says in regard to him, I saw the Lord constantly before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken or overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue exulted exceedingly. Moreover, my flesh also will dwell in hope. I will encamp, pitch its tent, and dwell in hope in anticipation of the resurrection. For you will not abandon my soul, leaving it helpless in Hades, the state of departed spirits, nor let your Holy One know decay or see destruction of the body after death. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with joy with and in your presence. Brethren, it is permitted me to tell you confidently and with freedom concerning the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Being, however, a prophet, and knowing that God had sealed to him with an oath that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke by foreknowledge of the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, that he was not deserted in death and left in Hades, the state of departed spirits, nor did his body know decay or see destruction. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are his disciples, his disciples are witnesses, being therefore lifted high by and to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised blessing, which is the Holy Spirit. He has made this outpouring, which you yourselves both see and hear. Well, what were they seeing and hearing? Well, they were seeing people glorifying God, and they were hearing people praying in the Spirit and speaking in the utterances of the Spirit. And it says, for David did not ascend into the heavens, yet he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand and share my throne. Well, the Lord was the Father who said to the Lord, the Lord Jesus, sit at my right hand and share my throne. And the Holy Spirit set him at the right hand of the Father. And it says, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel recognize beyond all doubt and acknowledge assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. And, you know, you can say that too, because we all crucified him because of our sin. But he did it. That is why he came for us. So then it says this in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were stung and cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, the special messengers, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered them, "Repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you." Now here's doctrine again, because remember we discussed Acts 19, where when Paul asked, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And then they said they didn't even hear about a Holy Spirit. And then he asked them, and he said, "Well, what then were you baptized into?" And I don't know if you remember, we talked about this last week. And he said, well, they were, in specifically in Acts 19, they were first of all baptized in the baptism of John, which was repentance. And now here in verse 38, this is what they said. This is what he said, "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and release from your sins." Now there is, if you're born from above, if you receive forgiveness of sins from Jesus, it says you shall receive. Now there's the key word, you must receive. Just like you received Jesus and you received salvation, you also have to receive the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read that again. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And I guess a good picture is, you know, if it's your birthday and people give you a gift, you know, it's all wrapped up in this beautiful little box, and they hand you this gift. You didn't buy it. You didn't earn it. They gave it to you as a gift. And it's the same thing. But you had to take that gift, didn't you? Like if you would have refused it and said, "No, I don't want that gift. Forget it. I mean, can I pay you for that gift? Is there something I can do for that gift?" Well, then it's not a gift, and it's the same here. Isn't that powerful? I mean, Jesus paid for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's our part, is to receive. "For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children, and to and for all that are far away, even to and for as many as the Lord your God, our God, invites and bids to come to himself." And remember we were talking about Acts 19? Well, here it is. I had to put that because it's so important doctrinally. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus. This is Acts 19. Then he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he asked, "Into what baptism then were you baptized?" Now here is some doctrine for you. They said, "Into John's baptism." And so here Paul starts explaining to them. And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continually telling the people that they should believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus, having a conviction full of joyful trust that he is Christ the Messiah and being obedient to him." So that is, of course, the baptism of repentance. So on hearing this, they were baptized again, this time, now this is in the Amplified, "in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in foreign unknown tongues, languages, and prophesied." Isn't that beautiful? Because when the Holy Spirit comes on, he comes on people, he dwells in people, you can see in here, because the Holy Spirit is action. He does all kinds of cool stuff. And so I wanted to read in the Douay Rheims in Romans because it's just so beautiful in this scripture. Okay, so think about this. It's Spirit, in other words, the Holy Spirit in our spirits. He's the one that causes us to live the life of God in us, to live the life of Jesus. "But they are according to the Spirit, mind the things that are of the Spirit. For the wisdom of the flesh is death, but the wisdom of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the wisdom of the flesh is an enemy to God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. And they who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit liveth because of justification. And if the Spirit, this is so powerful, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall quicken also your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if sons, heirs, also heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ, yet so if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. You know, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit too. Right from the Old Testament all the way from the New, God imparts. And such a great example of that is we're going to start in Numbers 27:15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, May the Lord, the God of the Spirit of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Now, isn't that a beautiful picture of the prophetic presbyter? Yes, where there's an impartation of the gifts and callings. I mean, that's what a commissioning is. It's so beautiful. And so I am going to go into Luke 10:21. I just want to read some of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was very pleasing in your sight. You know, we have to be like little children and receive from our Father, just like a little child would. And so Romans 15:3. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so everything is done through the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we have to strive together in the love of the Spirit. I'm going to go in 1 Corinthians 5:4. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So we're sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're set apart, and he infuses his life into us, and it is a process. Because we have to renew our minds and practice godliness, don't we? Think about how intimate we are with the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. I want you to really think about that. We are one spirit with the Lord. We are so intimate with him. And it's just like any other relationship. If you don't give, you know, a person the time of day, they're not going to know you, are they? And you're surely not going to know them. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't even say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit helps us. That is the truth. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one could say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I mean, the Holy Spirit brings us so much, so much. Think about 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's the next verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I mean, what do you think of when you fellowship with people? It's like you're friends and you talk and you hang out together. You get to know each other. You share, you know, yourselves with each other. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing with the Holy Spirit too. So we can be that close to him. In Ephesians 1:17, if you go all the way, I'm not going to today go through 23, but this is such a beautiful prayer for God to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We have to have it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to read that verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he's there for us. And even in Exodus, I wanted to go in 35:31. Do you know that we can ask him to fill us with wisdom and understanding, knowledge and workmanship? I mean, it's so incredible. He filled people with wisdom to do their jobs. And so I'm just going to read that scripture. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Isn't that awesome? And so we're going to stop a minute. I played this last week, but I really want to play it again. It's singing in the Spirit because it's so beautiful. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit. You can intercede with the Spirit. You can, in the Spirit, you can pray, you can intercede, you can sing. And so you sing in the Spirit, you can sing in the natural, you can pray in the Spirit, you can pray in the natural. So here we go. I want to play a little bit of this song for you.
Thank you.
beautiful. I'm just going to let that play. I don't know if you're going to hear it. I'm going to put it on real low. But remember, we were talking about Pentecost, and he filled every person that was there, 120 of them. But there were more that didn't show up, because there was a place in the scripture where there was 500, and he told them, wait for the promise of the Father. And so those other ones never came, and they never waited. And so I want you to think, too, about Acts 10, where we've talked about that a lot. When Peter encounters Cornelius, you know, he's told to go there without question. And Cornelius, you know, Cornelius talks to Peter. I'm going to kind of go towards the middle just because we're running out of time. And I want to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, he starts talking to Peter, and he says, oh, let's see here, I want to go in. I want to go in verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. So you see, that's really important. When people pray and give, it touches the heart of God. And so, therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Now, listen to what Peter does. He starts talking about Jesus and him crucified and what happened, and the power of God is poured out. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about good, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And like I said, you have to remember this was foreordained before the foundation of the world, because we all put him to death because of our sins. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And so they received this word, and the Holy Spirit then fell on them. It's so powerful. So in Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues. They were seeing and hearing, speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized, for who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? I just love what the Lord did, because he baptized them in the Holy Spirit first. Because listen to what he says. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to stay on for a few days. So God decided, he just wanted to shake it up so people wouldn't you know, I think make a dogma about certain things, because he baptized them in the Holy Spirit first because they obviously believed about Jesus, and then he baptized them in the name of Jesus. So there was always impartation from the Holy Spirit, old and new. And so I'm going to have to skip a lot of my scriptures. I might go to them. I might continue. Well, no, I will continue about the Holy Spirit next week. And so I have about 10 minutes left. And so I last week I said I wanted to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, because I was on, I think on YouTube one day, and I can't believe what I was I can't remember what I was reading, but there was someone that said they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, and the person that gave the answer gave a beautiful answer, but it really wasn't a prayer to be really and truly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I really wanted to do that, because I know there's people who want to receive the Holy Spirit. And so if you're one of those people, let's just pray, okay? This is the promise of the Father, and Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And so I also wanted to share this, because one of my mentors a while ago, she was saying how God showed her that generational witchcraft and not yielding to the Spirit, unworthiness can be a reason, and unbelief can be another reason, fear can be another reason. Let's cover those things so that Jesus can baptize you in the Spirit. And so for those of you who have prayed for years and you still haven't received, let's break generational witchcraft, because this is a really big thing, because we don't, I believe every person should pray the breaking of every kind of sin in our generations, because we don't know what they were into. And I'm sure between all of them, they were all into everything. And so, yes, Jesus paid for us to break those generational curses. We do not have to live with them anymore. So we don't know what was back in our generations. And so we're going to say a prayer of renouncing generational witchcraft, because this can be a huge hindrance. So I'm going to cover this, because I've seen people who haven't received in a long time. And when this was broken, and we prayed that God would help them yield to him, that they would yield to the Holy Spirit, that helped him too. So Lord Jesus, forgive our generations for practicing any kind of witchcraft. Lord, you said that you were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your wounds we were healed. And we renounce Satan and all his works, and renounce all witchcraft all the way back to Adam in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand in the gap and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse that out of our family lines, Lord, and that every door will be shut forever in the name of Jesus. We forgive them also, and we ask you to forgive us if we have yielded to anything like that. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us yield, and we bind anything that would try to interfere in us being baptized in the Spirit. We bind the fear of the supernatural, the spirit of fear. We bind unworthiness in the name of Jesus. We bind anything that would try to hinder us, Father, or hinder us from yielding to you. In the name of Jesus, we bind doubt and fear and unbelief. In Jesus' name, we bind every lying spirit that would try to say that it's me and I'm making it up. I bind those in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your faith, your truth, your boldness, and your power, and your anointing, Lord. Your death had paid for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so remember, when the scriptures, we have to ask and receive. So let's ask, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and I ask you to give each and every person praying to give them the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in other tongues, everything that you have inside of them, Lord, that you will baptize them right now. You will immerse them in the Spirit, Lord Jesus. It's the promise of the Father. And you can know this, that when you ask that the first time, it's in line with the Word of God. It's in line with his will. And he wants all of his children to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can go into Acts 2:38-39. You know, there is no time or distance in the Spirit. Expect Jesus to baptize you in the Spirit. Expect to receive him when you pray. Reach out in faith and receive him. Your part is to cooperate to receive the Holy Spirit, to surrender to him and allow him yield to him. You know, you're the one that has to open your mouth, and he will give you the words. And you're not going to understand them because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's your heavenly language. Just think about that. It's a kingdom, and he has a language. And so thank you, Father. This is what you promised. Thank you, Jesus. You are my baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Father, you said that if we would ask for the Holy Spirit, you would give him to us. It's what you promised. It's the Father's promise. I'm now asking you, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those who are filled with the Spirit, Lord, and want more, I'm asking you to give us all more. We all want more anointing, Lord. We want the anointing without measure, Lord. That's what you said in the Word. We can have the anointing without measure. We are expecting that. Spirit of the Lord, I receive you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the gift of tongues. I'm going to speak with tongues, sing with tongues, pray with tongues. I'm going to build myself up in my most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, just like the book of Jude says. According to your word, I believe that I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, receive. Know that you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and begin to speak. The Holy Spirit will enable you. He'll inspire you. The Father will not allow you to be filled with another spirit. That's just fear trying to stop you from receiving the promise of the Father. Yet if he shall continue knocking, we're going to go to Luke 11:8. I say to you, although he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, that because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And which of you, if he asks his father bread, will he give him a stone? Or a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he reach him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father from heaven give the good Spirit to them that ask him? I just want to, in a prophetic thing, Holy Spirit, breathe on them. Fill them, Father. Fill them in the name of Jesus. Baptize them in the Holy Spirit.